Southern California Christian Students College Conference, April 13 through 15, 2012, Anaheim, California. Conference title is The New Testament Priesthood. Message 1, Priests of Christ to God. Scripture reading, Ephesians 1, 9-11, 3-9-11, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9, 2 Corinthians 3:16-18, Revelation 1:6 and 5:10.
Well, this weekend we'll be covering a topic that some of you may not be that familiar with, and that is the New Testament priesthood. Priesthood. I like the word hood. Don't you? We're all part of the hood. But what kind of hood? It's the priesthood. But we have to ask, you know, what is a priest? What is a priest? You know, I asked one of the students before the meeting. I said, what is a priest? And he thought a while. Well, it's someone, you know, that's a mediator between God and man. I said, okay, we'll talk about that. There's more than this. You know, that's actually the situation in the Old Testament. That's really what happened. But to really understand what a priest is, I hope by the time this is all over, you just love the matter of priesthood.
Amen.
You look at one another and say, you're a priest. In fact, by faith, tell your neighbor, you're a priest. And you may be thinking, I don't know about that. Well, hopefully we'll all appreciate what it is to be a priest. And in order to really know what it means, first of all, there's a common thought. You know, a priest is someone who what? Serves God. Right? Some would say that. That's not bad. A priest is someone who serves God. But then you have to ask, what does it mean to serve God? Right? Do you know the answer to that one? If I were to ask you, what does it mean to serve God as a priest? Well, to really answer that properly, you know what you need to see? You need to see, and I need to see, what is God's eternal purpose? We have to go back to the beginning and find out what was on God's heart. Do you realize the God of the universe, He has a will. And there's three little phrases in Ephesians 1. You have this matter of the good pleasure of His will. And you have the mystery of His will. And then you have the counsel of His will. There's a will in the universe. It's God's will. And this will is according to His good pleasure. He has a good pleasure. God has a good pleasure. He has a heart's desire. He has some feeling about what He wants to carry out. Do you have a will? Tim, do you have a will? What do you will? Don't tell me. That's okay. You know, we all have our own will. Well, you know what? There's a great will in the universe. It's God's will. And out of that will, according to His pleasure, He had a plan. He purposed something in Himself. And that is, He wanted to do something tremendous in the universe. It boggles man's mind. It's the mystery of His will. You know what it is? Well, let's go back and look at some verses before I tell you. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. In Genesis 1:26, I'm not going to read them. I think you're familiar with these. But in these verses, you see that God made man in His own image. Let us make man in our own in our image. After our likeness, right? And let them have dominion over this and over that and over everything. He made us in His very own image. You know, I've got a glove in my pocket. It's the best I could do once I got here. And I'm sure my hand won't fit in there, but anyway, this is a glove. And you know, yeah. Oh, much better. Now you can see it. Hallelujah. This is a glove. And according to the verse, it says we were made in the image of God. What was this glove made in the image of? A hand. So what's the purpose for this hand? What was it made for? What was it made for? It's made to contain the hand. Tim, you want to stand up and let's try this. Stand up, brother. This is Tim. He's just an empty hand. And here he is. What was he made for? He's made to contain God. He's made to contain the life of God. And the reason we know that is because in Genesis 2, after he made man, what did he do? He put man in front of what? In a garden, there was the tree of life. Good for food, the tree of life. Let's all say tree of life.
Tree of life.
Hallelujah, life. This is where he put man in front of the tree of life, intending that man would take life into him.
Amen.
Right? Here he is. What needs to happen here? This is God, okay? And this is Tim. What needs to happen, Tim? What needs to happen with your life? Yeah, well, go on in there. It's stuck. God lives in me, yeah. Well, God needs to get all the way in, huh? Oh, that's perfect. Yay, look at that. Now then, that glove has fulfilled its purpose, right? What was it made for? To contain the hand. Is the hand there? Wonderful. I hate to take it off. Anyway, listen, we were made in God's image to contain the life of God. This was His intention in putting Him in the garden. We see it there in Genesis 2:9, right? Good for food, the tree of life. Oh, we have to be impressed. Your intention, God's intention for you is that you would be a person of what? Life. Colin, what were you made for? Yeah, that's right. Tell your neighbor, you were made for life. Now this isn't any kind of life. You were made to contain the life of God. Hallelujah! Wow, this is God's original intention. He wants and He desires, His purpose has not changed. He wants to work out His plan in a way of what? Dispensing, working His life into man. He wants to get Himself into us. This is His intention. And listen, this is not small. Can you believe God wants to live in you, walk in you, move in you? And you know what for? Why does He want to get into you? He wants an expression. On one hand, we're made in His image to express Him. That's wonderful. That's the one big thing. And the other side of it is, He wants us to have dominion. He wants us to be filled with God and exercise and represent Him with His authority. You realize that? There's an enemy in the universe. There's another will. There's Satan's will and there's God's will. And we're right there in the middle. We get to choose. Whose will do we choose? God's will. So we're all here before the tree of life. What do? Choose life. Choose life. Let's look at the outline, could we? Let's all read the title together. Priest of God, Christ to God. Again, Priest of Christ to God. Praise the Lord. Then Roman number 1 all together. God, as a God of purpose, has an eternal plan, His economy. I think it's worthwhile to read Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. Could we do that? Could you take out your Bible and read this? Hallelujah for the Bible. This is just to confirm what we're talking about here. And you see this in the book of Ephesians because it's in the book of Ephesians, a book on the church. The revelation is so high. And in Ephesians 1:9, let's all read it together if we could. Go.
Making known to us
the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens, the things on the earth, in him, in whom also we were designated as an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So in these verses, I'm just going to go back. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. His will was a mystery. It was hidden in God for ages. Kings and philosophers would love to know what's in the heart of God. Why were we made? What is life all about? Well, it's a mystery. And the mystery of his will is according to his good pleasure. And he purposed it in himself unto the economy. This is his plan. At the fullness of the times to head up all things in Christ. And we have to realize he is going to head up everything in Christ. Christ is everything to God. And he wants to head up everything in the universe. The things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him. Okay, let me use another illustration. Eric, come on up. Yeah, Eric, one of the Erics. Okay, this is, come on up here. This is a representation of all of mankind. And man was made in God's image, and he was put over the whole earth to represent God. He was made in his image. But what happened? Something happened. The enemy came in and injected man with sin. And when sin came in, what happened to the universe? What happened to the head of the created race? Here he is. What happened to him? Sin came in. He collapsed. There we are. That's mankind. Just stay there. Mankind, they've been injected with sin. Sin is reigning. It's rampant. It's been passed on from generation to generation. But Christ is going to head the whole thing up. God wants to head up everything where? In Christ. How does he do this? How does he get this man out of the collapse? Here he is. He's just a heap. We're all just a heap. You know, some are higher on the heap. You have a president up here, but he's just on the heap. You have somebody else, CEO, this or that. They're just on a heap of collapse. But what does the Lord want to do? He wants to head us up in Christ. So what does he do? He comes in Christ. He redeems man. He's incarnated. He has a human living. He goes to the cross. He dies. He takes care of all the sin problem, all the problems in the universe. He takes care of them on the cross. He dies. He resurrected. And then he becomes the life-giving spirit. And in resurrection, he's available for this heap. Eric the heap is here. He needs resurrection life. So what happens when the word comes to him? The gospel comes. What happens? He turns his heart. He receives the Lord. He calls on him. What happens? Did y'all get that? Anyway, the Lord as a spirit comes into him. And then zip, just a little bit. No, just a little bit. Just to your knees. He's a little bit out of the collapse. Look, he's a little higher. Life has come in. Christ has come in to head him up. The Lord is going to keep heading him up. The more he turns his heart to the Lord, what happens? Lord Jesus, Lord, come on now, brother. Yeah, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Oh, amen. You better jump, brother. Hallelujah. He's out of the collapse. Amen. Thanks, brother. This is what's happened with all of mankind. The Lord needs some that would respond to him, that are willing to be part of that group, that are willing for him to let him work his life into them. Do you want him to work his life into you? I hope you're just wide open. Listen, this is God's original intention. Do you believe this? I just want to impress you. Tell your neighbor, you're in the image of God. And you know what? Christ lives in you. I trust that everyone here, the Lord Jesus is living in you. Right, Eric? Hallelujah. Eric Hurd is out of the collapse. Amen. He has life. Well, let's look at this next, the next point, or point A. Can we read that together? God's economy is to work himself into a group of people that he might be their life and that they might become his expression. And here there's the verses in Ephesians 1:22. While you're there, you can just take a look. You can still have it. And he subjected all things under his feet. Has everything been subjected under Christ's feet? You need to say amen.
Amen.
Yes. And he gave him to be head over all things. What? To the church. He's been made head over all things. What? To the church. There's something going on. He's accomplished everything and now he's doing something with the church and through the church. He's doing a work. He's working himself into the church. He's working himself into his believers. To the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The point here that I want to make, and it's in this point, and that is, by his working himself into us, what does he get? He gets a corporate expression.
Amen.
He gets expressed. In these verses, you see, there's a transmission from him to the church, and the church is his body, and then what is his body, ultimately? In this verse, the body is what? It's the fullness. It's fullness. Do you see that? It's the fullness of the one. Oh, the fullness of the one.
Amen.
Have you ever realized that the church, as the body of Christ, it's full of just one? It's the fullness of, let's all say it, the one. What is the church full of? The one. It's the one who what? Who fills. Who fills. I want to say it again and again. He fills. He fills all in all. He's a filling one. What is he doing with us? He's filling us. Listen, this is so critical to see. His desire is to work himself into us. Deep down in our being. To spread himself into us. That he could have an expression. You know what fullness is? Fullness is expression. He's the fullness. The church, the body, is the fullness of the one. Okay, Josiah, I have to use you as an example. Sorry. Stand up, brother. You know what Josiah is? You ever thought about it? He's not just big. He's fullness. And you know what he is? He's the fullness of America. You know, what does America have? It's got a lot of good food stuff. It's got the steak, the potatoes, the bread, all kinds of good things. What else, Josiah? It's all good. Hamburgers, you know. How many hamburgers did you used to eat as a football player? You wouldn't just eat one, right? No, okay.
I had a 6x6.
A 6x6?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Six meat.
Six meats.
Oh, two. Actually, I had two.
Two of those.
Yeah.
Woo! See? What happens is the riches of America get eaten. They filled him up. And now he is what? He's the expression of America. He expresses the fullness of America. He expresses the riches of America. Right? Hallelujah. That's a good example for all of us, right? What are we all doing? We're getting filled with God.
Amen.
To become His fullness.
Amen.
His expression. Isn't this a great expression? It's full.
Amen.
You can't miss Him. Wherever He goes, everybody sees Josiah. Anyway, sorry. Amen. Listen, this is what the Lord is doing with us. His intention from the very beginning was to be the tree of life to us. And He came to be life to us. And now, you're familiar with the verses. The Lord, when He came, what did He say? I'm come that you might have what?
Life.
I'm come that you might have what? Life. Life. And that you might what? Have it abundantly. A little bit of life? Just a little bit of Christ? I've got Christ. I'm okay. No. He wants to be life to us. What? Abundantly. Amen. Abundantly fill.
Amen.
More Christ.
Amen.
More Christ. This is our Christ. He's an all-filling one. He's the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
Did you read that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
He loves to fill. He's the filling one. And He's making the church full of Him. The fullness of what? The One. Is the church filled with something else? You know, all your talent, all your good this, all your good that. Do you really bring anything to the table here? No. No. What we need, and what the Lord needs, is for us to get saturated with God. Okay, let's go on to the next point. Let's read B. I've already talked about it, but just read it. From the beginning, God created man to express Him in His image and to represent Him with His dominion by taking Him as life. Then C, God's purpose is fulfilled, man's receiving Christ and expressing Christ. Wow, I love this. Look, if you look at the verses. Just think about this, you guys. God's purpose is fulfilled. Do you realize God has a heart? He has a desire. He has a longing. He intends to do something. And it's all together wrapped up with you and me. His target is man. His target is us. And He gets to fulfill. He gets to fulfill His purpose through man. And through man doing what? What did it say? Receiving. Let's all say that. Receiving. Don't you like that word? Again, receiving Christ. And then what? Expressing Him. When you receive Him, what happens? You express Him. Is that right? When a little kid goes to Six Flags. Disneyland. When they go to Disneyland, the little kid comes back. He's filled with Disneyland. What does he talk about? Well, you ask, Jimmy, what did you do today? I went to Disneyland! I guess big people say that too, huh? Anyway, I'm going to Disneyland. Anyway, they're full of it. You know, what ride did you like? Oh, da 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 da. You went this way, around, upside down. Oh, hallelujah. No, they don't say hallelujah, but they're just full of Disneyland. They've been receiving Disneyland. And what do they express? Disneyland. The whole earth is filled with all kinds of things. I think you realize there's so many things that are filling man, and they're expressing that very thing. It's immorality, sin, perverted things. Man just takes pleasure in all these things. They're being filled with this again and again. Then what's the expression? It just flows out. It's just common. The talk, the jokes, everything is about immorality, so forth. Well, the Lord needs some on the earth that care about His heart's desire. I love the Lord's heart's desire. I love His purpose. And His purpose is to fill us with Himself. Praise the Lord. Ultimately, He could get such an expression. Okay? In these verses, Colossians 1:27, I want you to just take note. There's three little phrases. Colossians 1:27, let's all say it. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then you have the little, in the next one, in Philippians 1:20-21, there's a little phrase, Christ is magnified. He's magnified in us. Right? And then the last verse, in Ephesians 3:9, we're filled unto all the fullness of God. How about that one? So, what you see in these three verses, it really makes it clear that His desire is for us to receive Him and ultimately to be expressed through us. In Colossians, you have what? Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Tell your neighbor, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope of glory. And then not only that, Christ can also be what? He can be magnified in you. Magnified. To everyone around you, Christ is so tiny, so small. But the Lord doesn't want to just live in you. He wants to be magnified. He wants to be made large in you. I think I'm going to tell you a story. Okay. I could probably do it later, but maybe I'll do it now. Okay. I saw Christ magnified in a brother one time. And it was so astounding to me. And of course, we see it all the time. And it can be somewhat common. But in this, at this one point, I was really impressed. I was in Texas. I was at a high school conference, I believe. And I had hurt my leg playing football or something. And I couldn't play football. So the high schoolers were out there. They're playing football. And they're in Texas. Mostly they play tackle. And I'm down in the end zone. And I'm watching a young brother go out for a pass. It's a long bomb, you know, one of those. And then this brother that's going out for the pass, he's kind of coming at me, and I'm just watching him. He's huge. I mean, he's tall and thin. He's tall and thin. And he's just like a ninth grader. And he's tall and lanky, you know, and he's running for this bomb. And then there's this other brother who's getting ready to go into the Marines. And he was ready. He was built, speedy. And here he comes. The two of them are coming like this. Here comes the ball. And this young brother, he caught the ball, brought it in, and then I was waiting for the explosion. This brother, who was a brother who was enjoying the Lord, he was really a brother who had been enjoying the Lord at the time. And I appreciated the Christ in him, but I never saw this. He came, and as the brother jumped up and caught it, he came and then he didn't hit him. He grabbed him, and then it was like slow motion. He just put him down on the ground. My eyes couldn't believe it. He just grabbed him, and then in slow motion put him down. Gently, carefully. Isn't that a wow? That's Christ magnified, made large in my eyes. I said, Lord, you're lovely. You're awesome. I saw it in that brother. Anyway, that's just a little example. Hallelujah. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Altogether, a priest is someone who serves God according to his purpose. Someone who receives God, is filled with him, and has God flow out of him to be the living expression of God. So here again, you see this point that I'm making. And that is, we were asking earlier on, what is a priest? It's someone who serves God. But how does he serve God? I hope you get this. He serves God according to what? According to God's purpose. A priest is not someone who just does something for God or works for God. A common thought would be, yeah, they're kind of a mediator, but they also do lots of works. They do things for God. They take care of the poor. They do this and that. There's nothing wrong with that, but is that really a priest according to God's purpose? We have to realize what God needs, what God wants, are priests according to His purpose, that are according to His intention, according to His good pleasure, His desire. What is His plan? His plan is what? What is it, Eric? What is his plan? What does he want to do? Work himself into man. Amen. Good answer. He wants to work himself into man. Typical Eric. Boom, boom. That's exactly right. We all need this. What is God's plan? Let's all say that. To work himself into man. Yeah. Exactly. So a priest needs to serve God according to God's purpose. That is, everything has to come out of what? Being saturated with God. Amen. There should be amen.
Amen.
In this portion, let's all read A together. The main function of a priest is not to work, but to spend time in the presence of the Lord, letting Him come in to fill and saturate him for His expression. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? Daniel, what do you think? Is that worth pursuing? Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't that sound all, that just makes me excited. What do you think? Is that good to you? If it's not good to you, it's probably because we're not spending that much time. We need more time in His presence, right? Letting Him do what? Come in, fill, saturate for His expression. There's two verses. I really want you to take note of these two verses. In 1 Peter 2:9. In fact, we need to read this because these are key to this weekend. Okay, 1 Peter 2. While we're at it, let's go ahead and start with verse 5 and then we'll skip to verse 9. Does everybody have it? All together. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're being built up a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. Do you realize that? What is the Lord doing? What is the Lord really doing, you guys? He's building us up into what? A spiritual house. A house. That doesn't sound too great. I'm becoming a house. No. This is a spiritual house for His dwelling, for His expression, right? It's into a what? A holy priesthood. What is it? A holy priesthood. Oh, holy priesthood. Let's all say that. Holy priesthood. And then verse 9, all together. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So in this verse, what do you see? You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. I just want you to look around. Look around at everybody. Just consider to yourself, royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Think about it. Bobby, what do you see? Amen. That's what we all need to see. A royal. You don't think about it. Eric, are you kingly? Oh, brothers, is he kingly? Royal. Tell your neighbor you're royal. You're part of a royal priesthood. This is what He's doing. Did I say that or does the Bible say that? A royal priesthood. And then it goes on, this little phrase, well, there's first of all, there's this phrase, a people acquired for a possession. We're becoming a treasure to Him, a possession to Him, something He treasures. But what's that little phrase? So that. Why are you a royal priesthood? Look at that. So that what? So that you may what? Tell out. So I'll say that. Tell out. Tell your neighbor, tell out. We're a priesthood to tell out the virtues of Him. Hallelujah. Him. Tell out the virtues of Him. This is the Lord's desire to be expressed in the universe. To be expressed in man, through man, as His holy royal priesthood. He wants to be expressed. He needs something to go out. Virtues of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Then you have the other verse there. Let me find it. Where am I? Philippians 2:15. Here you have that verse. How we're in the midst of a crooked and a perverted generation. Where are all you guys? Where do you dwell? In the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. But you know, what did Paul think about that? He had the realization that we're in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, and among whom, you know what we're doing? Among whom you shine. Oh, we shine. Oh, everybody in the back row say shine. Oh, I like that. One more time in the back row. Shine. Among whom you shine. The Lord needs some ones that would shine on this earth. Don't you want to be one who shines? So you have these two phrases. Tell out the virtues of Him. And shine. Jesus, what are you doing on the earth? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing. Okay. Got to move on. One, altogether. Man's concept is to work for God. But God wants man to stop his work and be filled with Him. What does Matthew 11, 28 through 30 talk about? You're probably familiar with it. Josh, what is this about? Yes. Come to me. Oh, come to me. All who toil and are burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Come to me. You guys are all, aren't you toiling? And aren't you burdened? Yeah, a little bit. Well, what should you do? Come to me. In a sense, as priests, you need to stop. You need to stop and come to Him. And even He goes on to say, you know, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls. In other words, my yoke is easy. To be one with the Lord, to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord. You know what? My yoke is what? Easy. Just come to me. A lot of times we find the Christian life rough and hard because we're doing it on our own. I found myself at different times when I'm getting burned out or getting, it's just too much, it's too hard. And this verse comes back to me. Come to me. Ken, come to me. All who toil and burden, and I will give you what? Rest. And then he reminds me, my yoke is easy. What does that tell you? What does that tell me? It tells me, you're doing all the labor. You're doing all the work, and you're not coming to me. Is the priest's life just a bunch of busyness, doing a lot of things for the Lord? No, it's stop. Get filled with Him. Come to me. I will give you what? Rest. So that's that. And let's go on to the next point too. I really like this. We have to declare this boldly. The highest profession on earth is to spend time being infused with God that we may shine forth God. Oh, the highest profession. If I were to ask you, what's the highest profession? Ryan, what is it? Okay, yeah, you cheated. You looked, yeah. Before you came to this meeting, what did you think the highest profession was, David Tang? Some kind of an engineer? A biologist, you know, or something, discovering some new things that'll save the world. I don't know, it may be to you, what is the highest profession? Is it the CEO of Apple, or is it to be a doctor? Is that the highest profession? How about a lawyer? Attorney? Doctor? Indian chief? Whatever. What's the highest profession? The highest profession is what? It's really to spend time with the Lord, being infused with Him until you shine forth God. Amen. And I'd like to impress you with these verses that are here. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. Okay, Eric Hurd, come forward, brother. Okay. The verses, if you're familiar with them, it says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay, here's Eric Hurd. Sorry. You okay, brother? Yeah. Amen. Okay. Right now, I'm the Lord here. Do you see the Lord?
No.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
There's a veil. You know what the veil is? His heart. It's not turned toward the Lord. It's on all kinds of other things. He's thinking about football, thinking about this, his test, his grades. You know, Eric did this, or Michael did that to him. You know, just thinking about all the things. Where's his heart? It's not towards the Lord. But what happens? The verse says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, okay, Eric, you need to turn a little bit to the Lord. Have that little oh, Lord. You, did you hear that oh? One more time. Oh.
Oh, Lord.
A little bit more.
Oh, oh Lord.
Okay. How about that little Jesus?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Ah, yeah. One more time.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I couldn't help it. If I'm the Lord, you know what I'm going to do? I'm there. Listen, he turned his heart to the Lord. The Word says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now then, what happens? There's more. What does it say? Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then how does it go? The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So the Spirit is here now. The Lord is the Spirit. And you're looking at the Lord. Then what does it say? We all with unveiled face. This is what I want to get to. We all with unveiled face. Beholding. What is he doing? Are you beholding?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're beholding the glory of the Lord. But you know it says beholding and reflecting the like a mirror. I'm getting confused. Anyway, he's like a mirror. And so he's beholding and reflecting. Isn't that what a mirror does? Okay. How shall I illustrate? The mirror. Okay. Okay. He's looking at me and he's a mirror. And I'm shining. He's looking at me. And I'm infusing him with my beauty. My glory. This is really a good illustration, man. My beauty. My glory. And then when you look at him, he's like a mirror. What do you see? Did you see that smile?
Yeah.
Call him my name. Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. What do you see? You're seeing him reflecting the Lord. But, you know what? There's something else going on. Exactly. As he beholds and he reflects, it says he's being transformed. What does that mean? That means the Lord is carrying out what his desire is to work himself into man. He wants to get in. Okay, and that's okay. Good. Good. Thank you. Sorry that was poor, but as we turn our heart to him and behold him, he infuses us with himself. The Lord is a Spirit. He infuses himself into us, and we're being transformed into the same image. Actually, just come back, Eric. The more he's looking at me, he's looking at the Lord, the more he's looking. Come on. Joy. You happy there, buddy? Yes. You're being transformed into...
What do you see? It's the same image. It's the same image, right?
Do you see him or do you see me? Thank you. And others, we're being transformed into the same image. Do you believe that? Isn't that amazing? This is the priest. This is a priest serving in God's presence. Okay, let's go on. Even there's the verse here about dwelling, you know, Paul, the psalmist had the desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life to what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Saints, I hope you'd all realize God's desire for all of us is to be in his presence, beholding him, reflecting him, being transformed in the same image. He wants to work himself into us. He wants to saturate us, fill us, permeate us, and what? Shine out of us. Now then, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are very similar. They're all regarding prayer. Okay, brothers, point 3. The real significance of prayer is not to ask God for things, but to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God himself. Again, it's not to ask God for things, but to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God himself. That doesn't mean you don't ask God for things. But what's primary? What's number one? It's just to contact God and absorb God. Do you realize what is the part of our being for prayer? What's, you know, you have eyes, right? And your eyes, what are they, what's the function of that organ? It's to see. And you have ears to what? Hear. Well, you know what? You have a spirit. You have a spirit. God made man with a spirit. And it's within the spirit of man. That's the part of man that was made to what? Contact God. You know, you can get in your mind. I don't know if, when I was a kid, I used to try praying a lot. I even tried doing it at night. I try to pray, and you know what happened? I just go to sleep every time because I'm in my mind trying to think of a good prayer. And next thing, I'm asleep. Well, real prayer comes from much deeper than that. It comes from deep within when our spirit is made to contact God. You know, there's this in Ephesians 6, praying at every time, what? In spirit. Again, praying at every time, what? In spirit. This is the way to pray. This is the way to contact God and absorb God. It's being genuine and real before the Lord. And speaking from the deepest part of our being. And not just, you know, some formal prayer. Something, blah, 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 blah. I did, you know. Prayer, listen. With some, prayer is kind of a sign by some priest to some. This is your penalty. This is your penance. This is your penance. Yeah, it's your suffering. You better pray. And then after you pray, you'll feel better for all your sins. You know what I mean? I don't know how that works. But I do know there's that thought. To pray is a suffering. Oh, I got to pray. So they do the prayer. Okay, I feel better. Now my sins are taken care of, you know. Listen, that's not real prayer. Real prayer is altogether in spirit. Where? In spirit. And this is how we contact God and we absorb God. You know, if you touch a sponge, what happens to the sponge? What happens to your finger? It gets wet. Same thing when you touch God in prayer, in your spirit, what happens? We get wet. We absorb God. We walk away with more God in our being. Isn't that awesome? Okay, next. Sisters, 4. Amen. Like Daniel, 3 times daily, he knelt. He had his windows open towards Jerusalem, toward God's heart's desire. And he prayed 3 times. And even it says, as he always has done. This is what, even though he's in a strange land, he's still there praying to the Lord as he had always done. Then, 5, brothers. Amen. When? In the morning. Before, there's so much activity. And we see the example in Mark chapter 1 there, where the Lord says, rising early. Rising very early. Even while it's still day, He went out to pray. Brothers, rising early. If you rise early, you'll go to bed early. Is that right, Tim? You'll be forced to. Get up early. Before everything starts happening. I really appreciate my daughter, one of my daughters. I have 5 daughters. But my oldest daughter, she was so good. She was really good in school, but she learned something. That is, she did her best work early in the morning. She'd get up at 5:30 and she'd begin to have a little time with the Lord, and then she would just start studying before anything would happen. And within a couple hours, 2 to 3 hours, she got more done during that time than she did all night long, trying to stay awake, fighting, this and that. Anyway, I'm not sure what point that has to do with, except for early in the morning is a good time to get some things done, to make some progress, you know, to accomplish something. So the Lord did this before everything began to happen, a great deal before day. Even when the manna, you know, the manna in the Old Testament, and it fell, they had to get out and get it early. If they waited too long and the sun got out, what happened to the manna? It's gone, worms or whatever. It would just get burned up, right? Okay, 6 altogether. We who belong to the Lord should never neglect prayer, but should pray at every time, even unceasing. Eventually it needs to be, saints, just our breathing. We just pray. We walk. We breathe. Prayer is breathing. We just talk to the Lord. We think about the Lord. We consider the Lord. We look at the Lord. We and the Lord are just one. We just rejoice. We always rejoice. We unceasingly pray. It sounds impossible, but I believe there's hope for all of us. Hallelujah. Just prayer is big. Prayer is big. Okay, B. The believers as priests offer spiritual sacrifices to God. These spiritual sacrifices are... Okay, so now we're getting to some of the things that the priests do. What does a priest do? Are you a priest? You have to realize, according to 1 Peter, you are. And also in Revelation, it says He's made us a kingdom of priests. So, what do? Well, there's some verses. There's some things in the Bible that talk about what we do as priests. Well, the first thing that's on the outline, I really like this, and that is, we can offer Christ as the reality of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament types. Now, I just blew you all away, right, when I said all that. Christ, the reality of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament types. Okay. I'm just going to talk about, real quick, five items. Five offerings in the Old Testament. And these items were the types of sacrifices that the people would go to the priest for because of their sins and their shortages and their wrongdoing. And they all are significant. And I'm burdened that all of you would appreciate a little bit these five offerings. Number one, I'll start with the burnt offering. That's one. You need to remember these. The burnt offering. Let's all say it. The burnt offering. Then we'll go to the sin offering. Trespass offering. I skipped one. The meal offering. And the peace offering. Okay. I want to try to make this real simple. I think the other brothers tomorrow will make some of these things even more clear. But in a simple way, I hope that you would enjoy the Lord as all these offerings. Number one, the burnt offering is Christ as the absolute one. The burnt offering was for God's satisfaction. It was absolutely for God. You had to burn the burnt offering before God for His satisfaction. And this offering was absolutely for God. And then you have to realize, who is absolute for God? Who? Christ is absolute for God. He's so absolute, He went all the way to the cross and died. That's how absolute He is. Now let me ask you, are you absolute? None of us are absolute for the Lord. You know what we need to do day after day, even often? We just tell the Lord, Lord, I take You as my burnt offering. Lord, I'm not absolute, but I have You. You're my absoluteness. Can you do that? You'll find out as you do that. Something like that. Just to offer, to lay your hands on Christ. Say, Lord, my hands are on You. I offer You to God. You're absolute for God. You know what God does? He can't help but receive it. What are you offering? Are you offering yourself? No, you're offering Christ as the most absolute one in the universe. Who met all the requirements by God, for God? Christ did. Who's pleasing to God? Christ. Who's the delight of the Father? Christ. What happens when you offer Christ? Tim, stand up. Please. You know what? Are you absolute? So what should you do? What do you do? Good answer. And what happens when you offer Christ? Okay, let me see. Offer. It's Christ. The Father is so happy to receive what? This offering. Christ is as the burnt offering. Absolute for God. Okay, now then. Hold on. Now then. He's also... Are you Are you sinful? We all are, okay? He represents all of us, okay? Don't take this personal. But it's true. What he is sin. Do you all have the realization sometimes? I'm just sin. I'm just filth. I'm just sin. Well, what do? When you go to the Lord, you feel like I'm just sin. You know what? Exactly. He's learning. What is, offer it up a little bit higher. Who is it? Who, what are you offering?
Christ.
Christ as our sin offering. You know what God does? Yay! Hallelujah. Is he offering something of his good works? No, he's offering what? Christ. As what? His sin offering. Now then, because he's sin, and because you're sin, what do? We produce, he's a sin factory. What does a sin factory produce? Sins, plural. So what happens when you sin, brother? You did something you shouldn't. You said something you shouldn't. You looked at something you shouldn't. You go to the Lord, what do? Lord, you repent and you say, Lord, I take you as my trespass offering. I lay my hands on you. Listen, you know what those, they did? They would put their hands on these offerings and then they'd kill them. And you have the realization, they're dying and shedding their blood because of me and my sin. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Now, Christ, He was that offering. He was that sacrifice for us. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So he became sin for us, right? Y'all know that? Christ became sin for us. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then, not only that, he bore our sins, plural, in his own body on the cross. So now, what, you just blew it, Tim. Did it again. What are you going to offer? No, you need to get better. No, that's not what you need. Offer Christ. Here we go. Come on, boldly, brother, boldly. Christ. Lord, all I have is Christ as my trespass offering. For all my wrongdoing. Lord, my wrong thinking. My wrong motives. My wrong feelings. You know, whatever it is, offer Christ as your trespass offering. Then, you know what else? He's got to live. What kind of living do you have? You may have the realization, my living is just too low. I'm just short in my living. I'm a goofball, or I'm lazy, or I'm this, I'm that. Your living is short. Then you know what? You have Christ as your meal offering. The main item of the meal offering was fine flour, which typifies Christ in his uplifted humanity. He's so fine and perfect in his humanity. So, what kind of humanity do you have? Do you want to offer that to the Lord? Lord, I've been so good this week. No. We're a mess. That's when, Lord, I need you for my living. Lord, I just offer Christ. Thank you. Amen. I'll take Christ as your meal offering. Then lastly, you know what he offers? After having all these experiences, you know what he has? Peace offering. And he's just enjoying peace. He's right with God. He's right with man. Everything has been taken care of. So what does he offer? The Christ that he's enjoying, which is what? Peace. So I'll say that. Peace. And then he just, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We just tell him, Lord, you're my peace. My hands are on you. I have no peace. Thank you. You're my peace offering. You're all these offerings. Okay, remember this. I enjoyed this one time, and I just think it just comes up again and again, even in my prayers, day after day. Lord, thank you. As my burnt offering, you're what I'm not. What are you not? Absolute. He's our offering for what we're not. Secondly, he's our offering for what we are, which is what? Sin. Then he's our offering for what we do, which is what? Sins, trespasses. And then he's our offering for what we need. That is, for our living. He's our meal offering. And then what? The result is, thank you, Lord, your peace. He's all the offerings. And when we experience Him in this way, saints, I would encourage you to practice praying over some of these matters to the Lord. Make them part of your prayer. You know what? You'll find out that somebody starts jumping inside of you. When you offer Christ, God cannot turn away, can He? He's just so happy to receive Christ. Sometimes we think we have to have a good confession. You know, we have to feel really bad and feel sorry and get the right words and tell the Lord how bad it was and how I'm this and I'm that. Listen, the best thing you do is what? Offer Christ. He's your absoluteness for what you're not. He's your sin offering for what you are. He's your trespass offering, you know, for what you've done. He's your meal offering for your living that's acceptable to God. And He's your peace offering. Praise the Lord. Anyway, these are some of the offerings that we can offer as priests to the Lord. Okay, I think I need to close here. There's a few more points here. We'll get into this a little bit more. Point two altogether. The sinners saved by our gospel preaching, offered as members of Christ. We'll get that in another message. Brother David will take care of that. Then three altogether. Our body, our praises, and the things that we do for God. And there's some verses there. Romans 12:1. What does that say? Yeah. I beg you, according to the compassion of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Present your bodies. Let's all say that. Present your bodies. Can the Lord fulfill His purpose without us presenting our bodies? You say, I'm there in spirit. Well, I don't know if you're really there in spirit. David, you need your body here. In the meetings of the church, for the Lord to do something, He needs our bodies. And according to Romans 12, this is acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service. It's so reasonable to present your bodies. If you don't, what are you going to present your bodies to? Why not present your bodies to the Lord? Amen. Okay, next you have the matter of praises. In Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, you see some verses about offering up the spiritual sacrifice of what? Of praise. How about the sacrifice of what?
Praise.
Let's all say they get sacrifice of praise. Isn't it a sacrifice to praise the Lord?
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Our mouth, no, the enemy does not want us to declare the name of Jesus. Does not want us to praise Him. You know, at one point the Lord told, you know, they try and prohibit some of the young ones from praising the Lord. And the Lord said, if you stop them from praising, the stones will cry out in praise. The Lord needs some that will offer the fruit of lips. Hallelujah for praise. To Him, it's fruit. Do you realize you can satisfy the Lord by praising the Lord? It's fruit of lips. I didn't say that. That's the Bible. Hallelujah for praise. Let's all say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Again, praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, don't you think the Lord loved that? That was fruit. He just had a big fruit salad. Hallelujah. Then here, see, this is the point I want to finish with mainly, right here. The goal, let's all read it together. The goal of the priestly service is to build up the body of Christ as the corporate expression of Christ. So what's the goal of all the priestly service? It's to build up the body of Christ. The priestly service, the priest is not for you, for your glory. To serve God, to do something for God. The real service is what? Being filled with God. Being saturated with God. Shining Him forth. Telling out the virtues of Him. Offering Him as all the offerings. Presenting your bodies. Opening your mouth and praising. Presenting the sinners that are saved by you. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? Have sinners saved through you that you can offer to the Lord. It's to build up the body of Christ. And of course, the verses, we read them in 1 Peter 2:5. We're living stones and we're being built up a spiritual house, right? And then in Ephesians, it talks about how He gave some. Apostles and prophets, shepherds and teachers, so forth. For what? It's unto the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, altogether three. If we consider the entire revelation of the Scriptures, we shall see that it was not God's intention to sanctify merely some of His redeemed ones to be priests. God's intention was to sanctify all of His redeemed people for this purpose. A. Brothers. To be a kingdom of priests. This means that God wanted them all to be priests. Even there He says, you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests. Listen to that. This was God's desire. He wanted all of His people to be what? Priests. I love that. Especially that little phrase. You shall be to Me. Be to Me a kingdom of priests. Oh, that sounds good. Then B. Because the children of Israel worshiped the golden calf, lost the priesthood, and only the tribe of Levi was chosen to replace the whole nation of Israel as priests to God. Hence, there was a mediatorial class between God and the children of Israel. So there's the mediatorial class. It happened in the Old Testament when they lost the priesthood, the tribe of Levi. But let's go to C. That's the Old Testament. Now, how about the New Testament? In the New Testament, God has returned to His original intention according to His economy in that He has made all the believers in Christ to be priests. And in Revelation 1:6, He made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Something like that. And then you have in Revelation 5:10, and hath made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. So, do you believe that you're a priest? Do you believe it really? I hope you would be impressed this weekend. We're priests. The Lord is after a kingdom of priests. But the main thing that a priest needs to do is they need to spend time in His presence. Right? I hope you get that. This is what carries out God's heart's desire, and that is to work Himself into us. We have to spend time with Him. To look at Him. To behold Him. Let Him beam His beauty into you. You know, there's a song in here for this meeting, and I really appreciate the last verse. I may sing it to you here. It goes like this. It's song number 3. I enjoyed this today. And you can sing along, you know it. Pray to fellowship with Jesus, bathing in... Oh, sorry. Wait, sorry. Let's go to verse 6. I'm not talking about the whole song. Verse 6. Pray to fellowship with Jesus, bathing in His countenance. Amen. Saturated with His beauty, radiate His excellence. Pray to fellowship with Jesus in the Spirit. Seek His face. Ask and listen. And listen in His presence. Waiting in the secret place. Isn't that good in 6? Pray to fellowship with Him. This is a priest, you guys. Isn't it awesome? It's the highest profession on earth. I've got the highest profession. You have the highest profession. What do? We're just here bathing in His countenance. Getting saturated with what? His beauty. And then what? just radiate His excellence. Woo, I love that. We got to sing it one more time, and then you all can be considering maybe something you can share, something short to kind of confirm the word. We'll just have a few minutes of overflow, right? Yeah. So let's sing 6 again. Enjoy it.